Hello, everybody. Happy Wednesday, and welcome to this week's installment of Happy Hour Live. I know I say this every week, that I'm super excited about the guest that's joining us, but this is a little bit of a departure for Trades Lady Happy Hour. We've generally stayed within the automotive and kind of adjacent, so welders, fabricators, metal workers. Gotten into a little bit of blacksmithing, some pretty cool stuff, but this is the very first time that we have an aircraft technician joining, and I'm super excited about it. I've never met an aircraft technician at all, let alone a female aircraft technician, and I'm kind of awe-inspired by it. She works on these crazy things that take us all over the world in airplanes up in the sky, these like massive tin cans that allow us to roam about the country. So I think it's really cool. They're massive machines. They're incredibly intimidating to me. And the fact that she is a technician that works on these beasts is just really freaking awesome. So hopefully she'll be joining us soon. I don't see a request from her quite yet. I'm gonna see if she is watching. Let's see. Fix fly, I see her. I'm gonna send her a request. Hopefully this will work. There she is, hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am fantastic. Thank you so much for saying yes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Nope. That's all right. You somewhere nice, apparently, and that looks beautiful.
Well, South Florida. You know, you can't go wrong down here usually.
That is true. What part of Florida are you in?
Miami.
Oh, okay. Very cool. I'm in Tampa a lot, but okay. I don't get down to Miami often. But I'm in Chicago at the moment in a lovely hotel room. So, for everybody who's watching, Elena?
Elena, yeah.
Elena. I wasn't sure how to pronounce it. Elena and I have not met before. I sent her a random message on Instagram and was like totally creepy stalker girl, like, hey, what you're doing is awesome. Come be on my happy hour. And fortunately, she's the type of lady to say yes to crazy people like me. So, so tell everybody who's watching really quickly who you are and what you do, and then we'll go into the past and kind of talk about how you got here.
Sure. So my name is Elena. I am an aircraft maintenance technician, and I work for a major airline here in the United States. I am hangar maintenance. That means I work a lot of the out of service aircrafts. Anytime it breaks or like really breaks, you know, and they have to take it from the line, they bring it over to us in the hangar, and I, you know, help fix them and get them back in service. So I'm qualified to work on a lot of aircrafts. However, within the company that I work for, I am qualified on their 737s, the MAXs, the 319s to the 21s and the 787s. I don't have 777 yet. That's the only one I'm missing right now.
That's right. I have a feeling you're probably going to get there soon.
As soon as they offer the training, I'll be there. Like,
nice. Very yeah. Cool. So I know nothing about being an aircraft technician or how that whole thing works. So I have so many questions. But I want to start with just like how did you get into this? Like that's kind of a big thing.
Yeah. So for me, my passion for aviation started when I was about 5 years old. A family member, he used to take me flying with him, and I kind of just fell in love with it at the age of five. I like always known that I wanted to do something within aviation. I thought I was going to be a pilot. That was something I always thought about. And then when I was in middle school, down here in South Florida for high school, they offer a lot of what we call magnet programs. So you can go into car maintenance, you know, aviation maintenance, drawing, anything like that. So there's a lot of programs like that. And they had one for aviation. I originally thought that it was for flying. So I figured, you know what, let me go ahead and check this out. This seems pretty cool. And I did that. And it turns out that it wasn't for flying. It was for aircraft maintenance, you know. So I made friends with some of the guys there, and I really liked it. Really was enjoying myself. And plus, I've always been very mechanically inclined, always taking stuff apart and putting it back together. So I decided to stick with it. And I did that. I graduated high school with my power plant certificate. And then I went back to school right away afterwards and got my airframe certificate. I was working the entire time I was taking my airframe courses, and then eventually went ahead and got my certificate for airframe. And that's, the rest is kind of history. So that's kind of, I've been an aircraft technician for 11 years now.
You don't look old enough to
No.
have
Everybody says that. They're like, wow, you don't look old enough. I'm like, yeah, I'm 29. I've been doing this since I was 18.
Oh
So,
my gosh. That is
yeah.
what an incredible like thing that they offer in your high schools. That's
Yeah.
amazing. Like I've never even heard of aircraft maintenance being offered in any high school, everywhere, like anywhere.
Yeah.
Like that's amazing. Very
It's
cool.
really nice that they give this opportunity to students, especially down here, like I said, there's so many programs that you can get into. And so being able to offer that and give kids the opportunity to figure out at a younger age if maybe this might be something that they want to pursue is such a great thing, I think, honestly. So I'm really
Yeah.
happy I was able to do that and take on that opportunity.
No, I absolutely agree. Do you know if that program is still existing?
Oh yes. Oh yes.
Nice.
Yeah. So the school
So,
that I went to is actually, they call it a technical college. So
okay.
they have the high school program and they also have the adult programs in it. So,
Okay. So is
yeah.
it like one of those things where you spend like part of your day in your like home high school and then go to a program in the afternoons or whatever?
Yeah,
Like a
for me
split
though, it was
day?
the opposite. I
Okay.
went to the school in the morning from 7 till like 9, and then afterwards I'd go to my home school and I'd be there from like 10 until 2:30.
Gotcha.
So,
That is
yeah.
so cool. And you're right, like so many of those programs are disappearing from schools and 100% like how do kids know what they want to be if they don't get exposed to all of the different options that are around them?
Yeah.
Like I can't even imagine like how many other people would be pursuing stuff like this if they knew. Like I never in a million years would have
Yeah.
thought of being an aircraft technician as an option for me because I'd never heard of it. I never saw it. It wasn't something that I was
Right.
exposed to, you know?
Yeah.
Interesting.
And that's one of the reasons for why I post so much on social media about what it's like to be an aircraft technician, and especially from the standpoint of being a female within the industry, it's because, a lot of what I do is meant to help educate and inspire people about an area that they can get into that many of them didn't know was even possible, And once they see it there, they're able to, put that thought in their head. It gives them that opportunity to consider something like this. And, sometimes they'll go to school. I've gotten so many messages from people that have said that I've never knew this was a area I could get into, and now I'm going to school for it because of what I've seen, So it's amazing the things that you can do with just outreach to be able to try and get people into programs like that.
Oh, definitely. And that must feel incredible to get those messages from people. I love what you're doing on social media. It's one of the things I love about social is it's truly that whole concept of if you can see it, you can be it. And people are able to see you as a woman, as a young woman, and see you being successful and then how much of an impact that makes on them. I think it's phenomenal what you're doing.
Right. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. My whole thing is about, so within the aviation industry of certified aircraft technicians, there are only we only women only make up 2.5% of the industry. So,
Automotive is the same, so we're like parallel.
Right. So the whole goal with everything too, that's why like if I had it my way, I wouldn't really put my face in front of everything that I do, because I don't want it to be about me, But at the same time, that part of putting myself there allows people to be able to see that that's a female, or that's a girl doing it. I could do it too, type of thing. So
Yeah,
that's why I do
absolutely.
it.
No, I 100% can relate to that. I think it's so important. Like as we're the same in automotive, we're 2.5-ish percent. And I'm honestly surprised that aircraft is that high. I would have thought you would tell me it was way lower. So that's really cool to hear. But yeah, I think it's really important for people to see it, right? To see that it's an option. So
definitely.
I think it's awesome. So how does it work? Because I know on like the automotive side, like there's no official licensing. Like you can get ASC certifications, but there's no, like, anybody can hang a shingle and call themselves a mechanic when it comes to cars. I'm assuming, I'm hoping that's not that simple when it comes to aviation.
No, we are certified. Everyone calls it a license, but it's not a license. It's a certificate that we get. It's shaped like a license, looks like a license, but it's not a license. It's a certificate.
Okay.
And yeah, so there are two ways that you can go about doing or obtaining your certificates. And one way is by going to school, like I did. My program was a little different because I did it in high school. Normally, the programs are about 18 to 24 months. You go to school, you take your general courses, your airframe courses, and your power plant. And once you've completed all of those, you're qualified to test for your life for the certificates.
Okay.
There's that way. And then the other way that you have is by working as an apprentice. So you have to keep track of all your on-the-job training forms. You have to have like a letter from your boss that pretty much states that you did work there, all that type of information. And you have to accomplish, if it's for one license, it's 18 months. And if it's for two licenses, it's 30 months. And then once you've got all those OJTs that show that you are capable of doing that, there's a form that you have to fill out. You fill that form out, you go to the FAA, you sit down with them, they'll interview you. And if they think that you're qualified to test, then they'll go ahead and qualify you, or they'll pass you to go ahead and continue the next steps into the testing process. And we have to go through, we have to do for the general airframe and power plant, we have to test for each one of those. And within each one of those, you have your written, it's, the book is 1,000 questions and they only ask you 100 of them. So you have to be able to answer those 100 questions. And then on top of that, you have your oral. So you have to sit down and do the whole oral with what they call a DME. It's a designee that will test you. And then afterwards you do a practical with this person. And if you're able to pass for each chapter or each subject, then you'll go ahead and you receive your certificates that way. So it's a little bit more in depth doing it like that. So
I wish automotive was that in depth. I mean, it makes sense. Obviously you're working on planes. Like it's intense stuff.
Yeah.
So you like pretty much went straight into it from high school. Like you graduated from high school and were able to test and start on the job.
So for me, my senior year of high school, I had to choose between finals or my certificate from power plant.
Oh,
so
wow.
I failed like all my finals. I didn't take them. I didn't show up to school for like the last 2 weeks. However, I knew that I was going to go ahead and pass, like I was going to graduate. So I didn't care. Pretty much failed the whole last, quarter pretty much. And I took my test. So by the time I graduated, you had to take it before the last day of school. So by the last day, I took it and the school paid for it. They paid for the licensing of it.
So, oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I got all of that out of the way. And I actually started out working at first in the school as a assistant to some of the teachers since I was a power plant rated mechanic or a technician, as I like to call us.
Yes.
I started working as a teacher's assistant. And then a couple months in, I decided I'm ready to go to work. So I started working at an overhaul facility and was going to school at night and then working during the day. And so that's why, for me, aviation is all that I know. You know, being an aircraft technician, my friends all know this. They're like, Alana, what are you up to? And I'm like, work, you know? Like, they're like, oh my goodness, have you seen this? And I'm like,
nope.
So this airplane, you know, like that's me. So
I love it. I mean, you were like totally pot committed. You're like, finals, I don't care. I've got a career to go do. That is awesome. How was your family about this? Were they receptive from the get-go or?
Oh yeah, for sure. My mom used to drive me to school every morning.
Nice.
So, cause where I lived, the bus didn't really pick us up. So we started at 7:10 and my mom used to take me to school every single morning. And then I would take the buses when I had to do my final or the testing for my certificates. and I knew I wasn't going to have that time to be able to go to my home school, she would let me stay at the school, you know, as late as I possibly needed to, and then she'd come pick me up afterwards. My mom was extremely supportive of my decision, and she's been super supportive of my whole career path since I was a kid. So
I love it. Yay, mom, for being supportive. That's awesome. I mean, you are, she's obviously done a fantastic job raising you. You are, at your age, you're so well spoken and doing so much. I'm very impressed with you.
Thank you.
Were you one of the only women in your class, or were there other women in the program with you?
Yeah, there were other women, but normally there's probably like one or two. That's about it. Even in the station where I work at right now, we have about 600 mechanics there, and there's, don't quote me exactly on this, but somewhere between like six to like maybe nine of us, and that's it. Yeah, the rest are guys that I work with. My whole crew is guys, you know? They're my dad's grandfathers and brothers. That's how I see them all. So.
Right? Yeah, absolutely. And I know how that goes. Are they cool with you?
Yeah. Because when I'm at work, I'm there for the planes, you know, honestly, that's how it is. So they think they'll be giving me like a tough job or something. And they're like, Elena, you're going to go do this. And I'm like, really? Really? And they're like, oh my God, like nobody reacts like that. You know, like that's like, yeah.
You're just all excited about everything.
Yeah. I'm like, really? And they're like, oh my God, just go away now. All right. Like, whatever.
You probably drive like the folks that are long time, have been there for forever. You probably drive them nuts. They're like, why is she so excited about this?
I was always told since I started working, Elena, you need to learn to walk before you can run. And I never understood that because I don't know how to walk. Like, I just don't know how to walk. Like, I want to do everything. I want to be a part of everything, you know? So it's like when they get me on these jobs, I'm like, okay, let's go do this. Like, we got to take care of this. We got to do that. You know, go buy the paperwork and manual. This is what it says here, you know? And unless I'm like my work partner that I have now, he knows his stuff, and I'm working newer planes that I've never really touched before. So I kind of shut up a little bit and like let him do his thing. But like, I still get in there and, you know, do as much as I possibly can while trying to learn as much as I possibly can.
Yeah, absolutely. So you wind up, you're partnered with somebody. Is that like always, or is that because you're like younger in the industry, or how does that?
No, it's always. We are always partnered with people, you know, especially within what we do, you know, these big aircrafts, different types of checks that we have to do. It's not safe to have one person working on a plane by themselves, usually, you know? So if it's something like a smaller check, then they'll go ahead and, you know, maybe one person. But for the majority of the things that we do, it's two people that are working on the plane together.
So what kind of stuff do you wind up working on the plane? I mean, is it the motor, the engines? Like, tell me. I don't know anything. Tell me.
So, well, I work on the whole aircraft. I don't just work on one thing. And I think, honestly, like, that's the most exciting thing about my job, is that I never know what I'm going to do. Never know what I'm going to do. Every day I go in there, and it's something completely different, you know? Or I go in there, I get my work package, and I think I'm going to work one thing, and then something happens, and I'm working something completely different, you know? If I go back a little further, our certificates, the airframe and the power plant, the airframe is the body of the aircraft, so it allows us to work that, any systems, everything within the aircraft. And then on the other side, you have the power plant, which are the engines. So I'm capable to work all of that all together. So, yeah, that's kind of what it's like.
Very cool. Do you have a favorite thing to do at this point, like your area that you love doing the most?
Yeah, engines. I love engines. I'm an engines girl, you know. Anything that allows me to work on the engines, I love taxiing aircrafts and going out for high power runs and stuff like that. Those are things that I really enjoy doing, being able to just work on the engines and hear them rev up. And those, they're amazing.
Awesome. Are they real rebuilt? Like, do you rebuild engines on airplanes, or like, or is it mostly repairs, diagnostics?
That's what we do, mainly repairs or diagnostics on them. When it comes to like major repairs and things like that, normally we'll just go ahead and replace the engines and send them out to a shop. So that's, I mainly work with either, you know, diagnostics or simple, not simple, but you know, like something that, you know, type of repairs. And then afterwards they'll go ahead and they'll send the engines out, and I help with the removals and installations as well.
How long does it take to remove an airplane engine?
Not long. You'd be surprised, really? Especially if you have a crew of people that know what they're doing. You can get a new one up or take the old one down, put a new one up in about, like, I would say about 8 hours or so.
Oh,
you
wow.
know, yeah, it really just depends on the people that are working on it, you know, how long they've been doing this, you know. Yeah, obviously, everything that we do is according to our manuals. Nothing is outside of our manuals, you know. But at the same time, when you've been working things for such a long time, especially if you have the same people that are doing the same jobs, you yeah. know, again, it's still by the manuals. Manuals are all our Bible. They're our Bible. We live by them. So whether or not it's the first time you've done it or the 100th time you've done it, you still look at the manuals first to see if there's been any modifications or changes to the way the manuals are written, and then you go from there. So,
interesting. I mean, I know car engines that pay more hours than that to replace an engine, so that's kind of amazing to me. So I just saw in the comments, and I people ask questions all the time, but I normally don't manage to catch them. But somebody just asked if you think they'll ever eventually have electric engines for airplanes.
They're actually in the process of making something like that right now. If we want to talk about in the sense of like fully electric, yeah, they're in the process of working and making engines like that. Right now, certain aircraft engines like the GE-NX, those are the ones that are on like the Boeing 787s. Those ones don't even use pneumatics anymore. You know, they're electrically started and driven and like that, you know, but I mean, not fully, fully electric, you know, they still use gas and oil, sure. you know, so.
But more and more electronics and.
Right. A lot more electronics, especially with the newer style aircrafts that are out there.
Just, do you have a preference on working on older planes with less electronics or the newer ones, more electrical, more electronic?
So my favorite aircraft of like all time is the 757. I love that aircraft. It was so manual. Everything about that aircraft, just like from the way it looked, the way it would taxi, to the engines on that plane, just everything. It was totally worth being able, like the manual aspect of it. However, I now prefer working Airbus. I don't like a lot of the Boeing aircrafts personally. I cannot stand the 737. That's my own personal
Why?
Opinion.
I'm curious.
Well, kind of for that reason. It's very manual, you know. And when you're trying to do things, it just seems a lot more work goes into it. Which I'm not saying that I don't like the work or I don't mind the work, but at the same time, you have to do a lot more digging to figure out what it is that you're looking for. That's my perspective of it. Whereas compared to the Airbus, you know, they talk to you more. You know, you get a lot more feedback from the aircraft, and it's really nice to be able to work with an aircraft like that, you know. So
interesting. I guess, like, I have so many questions because this is such a new world to me. So I'm curious, though, kind of going back, do you still have an interest in flying?
I did, but I've dove,
whatever. I say, I make up words all the time. I'm with you.
Yeah, yeah. You know, y'all know what I'm saying. You just stick with it.
We're following you. That's good.
Yeah, like I've gotten so deep within aviation and aircraft maintenance that like right now at this point in time for me, I really enjoy the aspect of fixing aircrafts. I really do. I enjoy being able to educate about them and being able to in that standpoint, you know. And in fact, we just got off of we host on Clubhouse. I don't know if you know the app Clubhouse. So it's like it's a newer app that came out, and like it's like people talk.
So many apps to keep up
yeah.
with. Damn it.
Yeah. So it's like a, think of like a podcast, you know, and you like talk and like people listen to you. But at the same time, people can like raise their hand and like come up on stage and like talk, and you create conversations with people. So you will have these conversations while people are, you know, below listening. And we actually just got off of an aircraft maintenance room prior to this. And we talk about technical stuff within aviation, you know, and you get really in depth with it, you know. So for me, I've gotten, like I said, so deep into the maintenance standpoint that for me at this point in time, I've been willing to kind of hold off on the flying side for a little bit.
That's fair. I mean, your passion for what you do is readily apparent.
Is it? I can't tell.
Maybe
sometimes.
Just a little bit. Maybe,
you know,
just
I'm
a
like,
little bit.
Is it? I can't tell sometimes, you know? Like,
That's awesome. So
I don't know.
Right? She's got all over her body. I mean, it's like, it's in your eyes, the way you light up when you're talking about it. It's really cool to see that. I mean, we spend so much of our lives interacting with people who are miserable in their jobs and don't love what they're doing. And so it's always really refreshing to see the level of excitement that you have.
I think for me, it's, so I was listening to a friend of mine on, actually, who's on Clubhouse today, and they asked him a question, and they said, do you feel like you work, or do you feel like you've, you know, within your amount of time that you've been in the industry, do you feel like you've never worked a day in your life? And his response was, I don't feel like I've ever worked a day in my life. I enjoy what I do. And I was just like, yes. Like, I understood that feeling, you know, because that's what it's like for me. I love what I do. It's not a job. It's a career for me. It's something that I enjoy and I want to see improve. I want to see the industry grow, you know, see more people within the industry, see more diversity within the industry. You know, that's so important and something that we need to focus on, I think.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And you always hear people say that, like, if you love what you do, you'll never work in a day in your life. And I think that gets confused often with, like, that doesn't mean it's not hard work, right? Like, it's still hard work, but you love it because it's something that you love and you don't mind the hard work.
Right. Like, I say it this way, I'm not going to lie. There are days that I see an airplane fly by and I'm like, oh my freaking Lord, not today. Like, I don't want to even look at you, you know, like, it's such a long night at work and I'm just like, not today, you know, type of thing. Right. But by the time I wake back up and I'm ready to go back to work, that feeling is completely gone and I'm ready and excited to like do what it is that I'm going to do. And it's the same thing of when I go on vacation, you know, when people go on vacation and they come back, they dread going to work. And I'm like, all right, here we go, going back to work. You know, like that's kind of how I feel, you know. So definitely, I know.
I think that's awesome. Do you work a lot of night shifts? I think feel like I've seen a lot of posts from you that are like late night.
Yeah, no, I only work night shift. I haven't, unless I'm in training or I'm swapping with somebody, I haven't seen a day shift or afternoon shift in 6 years. So.
Oh wow. How's that been? That I feel like that takes a lot of getting used to.
Oh, it takes a lot of getting used to. You get to a point where you start to learn what works for you. Actually, on my website, because I have a whole thing about, you know, for aircraft maintenance and everything that I do, I posted a blog, which I call my How To Survive the Midnight Shift. And one of the main things that I talk about with, you know, the midnight shift is you need to set a wake sleep schedule for yourself. It's one of the most important things. Besides blackout blinds and blackout curtains, the most important thing is your sleep schedule. So I make sure I'm in bed by a specific time. I wake up within a specific time, you know, and it still gives me time to get stuff done during the day. You know, I try and meal prep beforehand so that I don't have to worry about, oh my goodness, food or whatever. You know, I try and do stuff like that. I try. That's the key word, try. And
I was going to say, you have your life way more together than I do.
No, I try. But you know what else? I've also, you know, like there are services. Like instead of going to get fast food or whatever, you get stuff delivered to your house that are healthier options, you know? That's something that I've done too. I'm huge on vitamins. Everyone makes fun of me because I'm like always walking around with like a handful of vitamins at work, because that's the first thing I do when I get to work is like pretty much pop all my vitamins in. And yeah, just really take that time. Oh, and exercising is a huge important thing, especially on the midnight shift, because your body needs that, you know, gives you that energy, and not just that, but it can help you feel better. You know, it's not natural for people to be on the night shift. It's not, our bodies are not meant for that. So it's easy for people to fall within depression or, you know, have certain types of, you know, frustrations or whatever, because it's not something that they're used to. And it can really take a toll on a person's body. So doing other things that are more healthy for you can really help improve the longevity of you being on the night shift. Because there's, you know, my old station, it's a C-second shift, you had to have 25 years with the company. Oh, and wow. For the to see day shift, you had to have 35 years in the company.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, so I was never going to see it, you know, pretty much. That's how it felt, you know. So it's getting yourself on that routine, because the way I see it is, I love what I do. I make a good living off of what I do. I'm able to travel. Why do I want to give that all away because I work a night shift, you know?
Yeah, no, that makes sense. You're getting so much love in the comments. I don't know if you're getting a chance to see this, but so many people have been talking about how you're like the best aircraft technician to work with, that you're the bomb. This one just said you're legendary. I love it. Mick Haggerty, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, said something about your side hustle project. What's your side hustle project?
Oh, my side hustle project is it's Fixed Fly Travel, the website that I have. So within the website, I do have like different aviation maintenance type of stickers. I have shirts, different things like that. I also have the blogs that are up. And the whole point behind the whole store was to help create scholarships for aircraft maintenance. That's what I wanted to do, and that's what I am actually doing. I've actually joined with an organization called Tech Force Foundation, who I'm going to be offering my scholarships through.
Did you say Tech Force?
Yeah.
Oh, I do a lot with Tech Force. That's awesome.
Yeah. I'm helping them within their aviation side, helping that's them fantastic. Grow it, understand it, different things like that. And I am definitely going to, I'm offering my scholarships through them. That's the goal.
That is amazing. I love it.
Yeah. So it's been really exciting to be able to create something like that. And the main reason for why I did it is because, even though I was very fortunate in the fact that I didn't have to pay for a lot of my licenses for my certificates, my power plant was offered to me through the school because I was in high school. And then my airframe, I got grants from the government to go to school. So I didn't have to worry about paying for my certificates. What came to the hard part for me was actually getting my certificates. You know, I was out of the house at like 18. I made no money. Like, it was like $11 an hour. I didn't have a car, so I had to figure out how to get a car. Just so many struggles after a while that, you know, you just get to that point. And then by the time I was done with school, I was making a little bit more money, but then you have to choose sometimes, am I going to pay rent this month, or am I going to go ahead and get my certificates, you know? And so rent was always winning for me. So since, you know, I got to that point where I understand that struggle, I understand how hard it can be sometimes for people to get those certificates, because they're not always cheap. That's why I decided to create these scholarships through, or put the money from the store to create scholarships. That was the whole intent behind it.
I think that's fantastic. Are you still building the fund? Have you given scholarships at this point, or is it still building, growing?
It's still building right now. It's still in that, still working things out with Tech Force right now before we get that up and really going. But
yeah,
it's going to happen. It's going to happen.
Yeah. No, Tech Force is a great organization. I'm excited that you're working with them on this. They're good folks. So I normally do this like later in the talk, but I feel like this is the appropriate time to do this. How can people support what you're doing? People who are watching this and are inspired by what you're saying, how can they support you and find you? And
Wow. I don't want to be like, go buy my stuff, but like, you know,
that's
like,
you're allowed to
go buy my stuff, you know, like,
yes, go buy her stuff.
My stuff, you know, but like, I mean, that's one way. But you know what? Also, by just supporting our industry, supporting the people within the industry. It's not just me. There are so many people within the aviation industry that makes up the aviation industry. Aircraft maintenance is just one portion of it. You know, support everyone within the industry. We're a family at the end of the day. You know, it's not just me. There's other technicians. There's other people that are in the industry too, that do what I do, that are trying to support and encourage people and give other people a different type of outlet, you know, support. just support. That's it, you know? And you know what the thing is? Everyone always says, like, oh my gosh, Elena, like, thank you so much. I got to give something back to you. And I'm like, I don't want it. Like, I don't. Honestly, I really don't want it. For me, what it is pass it forward. Give it to somebody else. What you felt like you got from me, give that to somebody else. And that's what's most important, is we all need to kind of work together in that standpoint.
Yeah, truer words have never been said. I absolutely agree. Like, those of us who have had opportunity and chances to succeed and grow, like, it's, I feel like it's our responsibility and our job to turn around and pass that on to somebody else, like, 100%. And yeah. You're doing it, like, to the max. Like, you're doing it really big, and I love that. I do. Yeah.
My issue is I don't know how to say no half the time. I just keep taking on more stuff. The amount that I take on at work is just ridiculous. I'm, you know, besides the fact that I'm qualified on everything, I try and get as many qualifications as I can. I handle flight safety. I'm part of their diversity, equity, and inclusion council. I do so much within just trying and, like, improve and, you know, help within the schools, my social media, you know. When I sleep, it beats me sometimes, you know, but, you know, to me, it's all worth it at the end of the day, just because I enjoy everything that I'm doing and giving back to everybody is what really is important. Because at the same time, I've been very fortunate to have incredible mentors through my industry, you know, they've literally walked with me since I was 16 to the point of where I am 29. And one of them, he sent me a message the other day and was like, come to my office when you can. And I'm like, oh, crap, am I in trouble? Like, that was my thought process. I'm like, crap, I'm in trouble.
Right, of course. I'm going to go to the principal's office.
Yeah, that's what it felt like. And all he wanted to do was sit down and catch up with me and see what was going on. You know, I've been so fortunate to be able to have that from people. That's what I want to be able to do now with other people. That's how I see it, you know.
So for somebody who's younger and wanting to, like, get into this kind of work, how does somebody find a good mentor within this industry? Are there organizations? Is it, like, how does one go about doing this?
There are different places that you can look into. For example, there's, like, Women in Aviation. There's Corporate Women in Aviation. There's different nonprofits that do offer a lot of mentorships within that area. I know that's something else I'm trying to work with TechForce on. What else? There's, you know how else too? Being active within the aviation community too. If you're very interested in doing something like this, joining Clubhouse and jumping in on the aviation rooms. Do you know how many people have met so many people from different parts of the industry and have found mentors that way? It's incredible. It's been really incredible to just sit there and watch this. You know, there are people on there that are just so knowledgeable about their things, and they're so willing, and they've been able to create these conversations and create friendships and different things. The same thing within Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, LinkedIn, you name it. There are so many communities on every single channel. You just have to be able to and be willing to put the time and research in to be able to find what you're looking for, honestly.
Seek it out. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So somebody asked the question earlier, and I'm curious, how has COVID affected you? Was there a big slowdown? Did it not make a difference? I mean, aside from the obvious, COVID affected everybody dramatically,
right,
as far as the industry goes.
So it affected us a lot in the beginning. In the beginning, when I was in Fort Lauderdale, when I worked there, it was kind of scary seeing no airplanes whatsoever. You look over at our side, nothing. JetBlue had nothing. You know, Delta was dead. There was nothing, no airplanes. It was creepy to be able to be at the airport. And I haven't seen that since, like, we're preparing for, like, a hurricane or something like that. You know, like, it was kind of creepy. And it was like that for a while. It got to a point where they had to make changes. There were furloughs within the industry. I'm fortunate enough that I didn't get furloughed. However, they shut my station down.
Oh, wow.
So because they did that, then I had to move, which I'm, again, still very fortunate that I only had to end up driving 45 minutes instead of having to fly halfway across the country or to a different place. Yeah. So because there were guys in my station that couldn't hold Miami. you know, so because they couldn't hold, they either had to go to Tampa, Orlando, Tulsa. So, and that's what they ended up doing. So I've been very, I feel like I've been very fortunate throughout this whole thing. I've been working, and it's gotten to a point now where work is just ridiculously picking up. It's just so busy these days.
Good.
You know, yeah, we have like our flights are full. You know, it's it, things
I've noticed
are now
that
returning
on
back
all
to
of my
normal.
flights.
Yeah. Yeah, things are slowly getting back to normal. It's been really nice to be able to see that. So a lot more work is coming in. You know, finally overtime is starting to slowly come back too. It's
yeah.
been good for us right now at this point in time. But at first it was something that was kind of just like ooh, a little scary at first.
Absolutely. So. I'm glad you survived the furloughs and all of the rest. So
yeah.
Is the trade, I know there's like a huge trade deficit, like all over the country, all over the world, really, when it comes to a lot of the different trades. Do you see that in on the aircraft side as well?
Oh yeah, for sure. We need people. We always need people. And as people start to retire, we're going to need even more people. You know, when I got hired on with my company, you had to have 5 years of experience. Like you had to have 5 years. They just posted listings for a whole, like, I think it's six cities, five or six cities. They just posted them. You don't need any experience.
Oh, wow.
Like, they're taking people right out of school. Like, the need is so great right now. And this is the beginning. This isn't even where it's going to be in, like, I would say, for me, I'm saying, like, five, and that's pushing it, like, 5 years from now, because
yeah.
we're just hurting for people at this point in time.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. It's I mean, I kind of anticipated that was going to be your answer, but it's, you know, it's one of those things that I feel like we can't shout it off the rooftops enough that we have a major problem with our trades being like that. We have so much of a need to fill, and how the world is going to come to a screeching halt. Like if we don't have enough technicians to fix our trucks and our planes and our cars,
yeah.
like. We're going to have some serious problems in a very short amount of time. And
it's
kind of terrifying.
Sure. Yeah. But you know, it's on it, honestly, within the whole aviation field, we need it everywhere. We're running out of pilots. We're running out of mechanics. You know, we're running out of all these things. And, you know, unfortunately the way that it feels is, you know, nowadays it feels like the idea of being a part of what, you know, blue collar, as Tech Force likes to say, new collar fields, you know, it's
like
something that.
That
is very, it's becoming more okay, but for so long it wasn't. And for that reason, I feel like that's something that has really hurt the industries and creating different, you know, types of mechanics out there
yeah.
or technicians out there. So, you know, at least now I feel like people are now aware of the fact that you don't need a degree to make good money. You know, like you really don't. You can, you know, be a technician and make good money too, you know?
Yeah. Oh, I agree completely. I feel like I feel like it's starting to change. Like people are starting to have those conversations more, and people are starting to acknowledge that the trades are a viable career path and a respectable
yeah.
career path. But I still feel like we've got a long ways to go, because a lot of the schools are still pushing like 4 year college. That's the only path, 4 year college. Like that's the way to go. And it's not for everybody, and it shouldn't be
yeah.
for everybody. Like we need all the people, all the people doing all the things.
Yeah. And this was something that, believe it or not, I was listening in on a Women in Aviation, like a little clubhouse thing. And they were talking about that. They were talking about the outreach. The issues that they have with finding technicians starting from a younger age, because schools are still not recognizing trades as a viable career choice, you know? And I thought back to when I was in school, my counselor didn't even want to talk to me, you know? I was like, but this is what I want to do. I'd still like to get my degree, but can you kind of help me set this up and figure out what would be the best options for me? And because I didn't want to go to an Ivy League school, she didn't want to talk to me. You know what I mean? So like, it's unfortunate that stuff like that happens. And it definitely is something that does need to be changed. It definitely does need to be changed.
Yeah. And that was happening when I was coming up in the industry. I mean, we're going back 20 some odd years ago, but you know, I've always kind of held onto that hope that things are changing. And it always is sad when I hear younger generations saying, yeah, guidance counselors are still doing the same crap.
Right.
Are there, so you mentioned kind of some organizations, Women in Aviation, a couple of other organizations, like what kind of outreach is the industry doing to get to younger kids and expose them to aviation as an option?
So I feel like this is something that's very much in, like, it's in the works, you know, like that's the type of answer, like it's in the works, you know, type of thing. But what I can say is what I've seen is, for example, when I was in AMP school, even as a high school student, American Airlines partnered with the school. You know, they created an internship program during the summer, allowing students to go over to American for 3 weeks, and you learn about what it's like to be an aircraft mechanic from the sense of a hangar, from the sense of a line mechanic, and as an avionics technician. And it was really, it was such an eye-opening experience. It was one of those things that truly just was like, yep, that's what I want to do. I know what I want to do, you know, like type of thing, because it really gave you that experience. So you do see there are companies that do a lot of things that are, you know, to kind of help like that. However, I personally feel that it needs to be more. They need to do more within the area if they really want to be able to reach kids at a younger age, you know, and do things like that. But at the same time, this is where, for me, that I did it in high school, I know this from the high school perspective, where when I started my general class, we had about 120 kids. You know, by the time we got to airframe or a power plant, they split us between the two, and then it was like 60 in each one. Then by the time, you know, two classes of 30 kids each, by the time you got to your senior class, you had one class of like 30 kids.
Oh, wow.
And then by the time you actually graduated, with my class, there were only 5 of us that got our certificate.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it because it's that challenging, or is it because people are dropping off because they're not sticking with it?
They're just not sticking with it. They're choosing to do other things. But this is where the interesting thing does come into play, is a lot of the people that then decide to leave, whether they did it in high school or even as an adult and just never got their certificates, always end up going back to finish.
Interesting.
A good majority of them do. Why? Because you've placed that thought, you put that in their heads, you give them that idea, you show them what's possible, you know, and, you know, sometimes life doesn't go according to plan, but you know, there are these options out there for you, you know?
Rarely goes according to plan.
If it went according to plan, yeah, I would probably not be here, but, you know.
Was there ever any moment where you doubted yourself or whether you'd be successful?
Oh, yeah. I can definitely say that. In high school, I was the biggest crybaby ever. Oh my Lord. I used to cry about everything. Like, I just break out in tears, like, all the time. And the guys were like, oh my God, Elena, like, you, like, what the hell? Like, that's not, they were like, yo, and I'm like, I'm messing up, you know, like, crying all the time. And I had a female teacher that pretty much told me, you need to cut that out. You need to get yourself together. You need to get up, and you need to, you know, this is what you need to do. And she like said it for me. And that, I don't know, in a sense, I guess it helped. I don't know what it did, but it snapped something in me and made me realize that I needed to like grow a tougher skin. You know, I needed to be able to put myself in that environment and be able to like hold myself up high, you know? So like that helped. And that's when it started, you know, the whole process and starting to get to work. But then once you actually do start working, and you know, a lot of the times when you first start, you don't work for the majors, you know, you work for these little mom and pop shops, and sometimes you look while you're there and you're just like, damn, I'm never going to get to where I want to be, you know, I want to work for a major, you know. At the time, like I said, I needed 5 years of experience, and that 5 years felt like the longest 5 years of my life, you know. But I got it, and I ended up where I am now, you know. And it was so much work, but it was all worth it. It really was, you know. And I probably would have never said that back then. I'd be like, why? You know, but everything that I've experienced, you know, having to learn how to have a tough skin, you know, how to work through different things, how to handle myself and do different things, dealing with other people has really just helped mold me into finally being where I'm at right now. Because like I said, there were times when I just didn't think that it was ever going to truly happen. And now I'm here. Now I'm like, okay, what's next?
Yeah. I love it. And I love that you had a female teacher. Cause that's, I mean, if there's only 2.5% of women as technicians, like that's awesome that you had one as an instructor.
Oh yeah. I love her to death. Like I still go see her and visit her. She's so mean in school. So mean. Oh my goodness. Everybody was like, you don't cross her. Like, you know, like that. And she's so mean. She's the one that made me cry. I was like, what? You know, she's like, bro, stop that, you know, type of thing. But, you know, like I said, she was like that for a reason. She set the tone of how it should be, you know, in that sense. Not saying that everybody needs to be like that, you know, but like,
no, but there was no nonsense, you, like,
right,
for real.
None.
Yeah,
exactly. Like, this is how it is, and you were going to respect her class. You were gonna, this is how it's done. And it was just, you know, like I said, to this day, I still talk to her. I go visit her all the time. I say hi to her. I go to her house. We hang out, you know, type of
That's
thing.
That's awesome. So. Very cool. Yeah. Do you remember a moment or moments where you did have that moment of like, yes, like I am good at this. I can do this. Like I've got this.
All the time. I know that doesn't sound too conceited, but I'm like, yeah. You know, I get on a plane. The first time I got on a 787 to go taxi, they're like, are you sure you can do this? I'm like, I got this. Setting everything up. And the second those engines turned on, I was just like, oh, yes, it's so beautiful. It's so quiet in here. Like, I loved it, you know? So, you know, it's all the time. You have to have that self-confidence within yourself, especially when you work on something like aircraft.
Yeah.
Having that self-confidence within yourself, within your manuals, and within the job that you're doing, you know, you have to have that. If you don't have that, that's how, you know, in a sense, mistakes are made, you know?
Yeah.
So.
No, absolutely. Somebody had asked earlier, and I want to like kind of go back to it. They asked, when you travel and you fly, like you're in a plane as a passenger, like, are you just constantly thinking about all of the, like whenever I'm in a car, I'm like, I'm immediately looking how to take things apart.
Like, yeah. It's horrible. I guess I have to sit by a window, like, especially over the wing, and I can see, like, the flaps and the slats moving and, like, all that stuff. Whenever, you know, you hear the barking dog, you know, I'm like, oh, that's a PTU, you know, like, oh, there's hydraulics, oh, engine starting, you know, like, waiting for it, all that stuff. You know, I look around the plane. If I see something broken, I'm like, oh, God, don't touch it. You're not working, Elena. You know, like you're not working. You know, like, that's the thought that's always running through my mind. But, oh, definitely, definitely. And in a friend put me on this one lately. It's bad. This one's bad for me.
Uh-oh.
I was like, you know what? I need to stop sitting by the window. I need to get away from the window to the aisle in case you have to use the bathroom. It's so annoying having to go past people. And then my friend decided to show me that if you have Wi-Fi, you can use Flight Radar 24 and watch your flight live, right?
Uh-oh.
Right? So you can see all the other airplanes that are flying past you too, right? Right? So as they're coming close, my face is now plastered against the window to see if I can see any of the airplanes that are flying by. And I'm like, never going to get past this window over here.
So I take it you don't sleep on airplanes. You're like up the whole time, excited.
Yeah, pretty much. Especially now that I realize you can use Flight Radar 24. I'm sitting there like I said, my face is literally plastered against the window. And I'm like texting and I'm like, oh my God, did you see that? I'm like telling the guy, I'm like, did you see that? Like, there was a plane right there. And they're looking at me like, okay, weirdo, you know?
I love it. Oh my God. Your energy is so amazing. I just absolutely, I love it. You are clearly doing the right thing with your life and with your career. And it is just, it's so refreshing to see. I am, keep doing what you're doing, girl.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
So we don't have a ton of time left. So words of inspiration, words of advice. You've dropped a ton of knowledge on us. You've dropped a ton of advice and words for those wanting to follow in your footsteps. But if you were talking to the younger you or another young lady out there, or even another young, you know, a guy out there who thinks that this might be something that they're interested in, what are your words to them?
So this is mine. Just do it. Stop thinking about it. Just do it. Put in the time and the energy to research if this is something that you're interested in doing. Outreach. Ask people. There are plenty of people within social media alone that are willing to teach and like help you get in that path that you need. And once you decide that this is the path that you want to take, believe in yourself, because there are so many people that are going to question you. They're going to question whether or not you know what you're doing. They're going to question, are you doing it right? So many things that they will question about you, and it's not even about your ethics or anything. It's you, and if you don't have that self-confidence within yourself to be able to be, okay with yourself and what you're doing, that can affect you, and it's going to take you away from what you're doing. So you need to believe in yourself as well as believe in your paperwork. Your manual is your Bible. We live by our manuals. So, and something else is that my friend says this all the time, our certificate is a certificate to learn. So always remember that you're never going to stop learning. So the moment that you think that you know it all, that's the moment you need to check yourself because you don't know it all. So
Amen
believe
to
in
that.
yourself and ask your questions
Yes.
and continue learning. That's how I see it.
Amen. I could not have said it more perfectly. I love it. Very cool. Well, we are out of time. I want to thank you, thank you, thank you for joining. I learned a ton tonight. You are seriously like a badass chick. You are doing some seriously cool stuff. Don't
Thank
stop.
you.
Everybody who's watching, I'm gonna be posting this live. So there will be a link to Elena's website and her profile. So go check her out, check out what she's doing. Show her some love and support. If you're not familiar with Tech Force Foundation, definitely check them out. Give them some love. They do a ton of scholarships for folks in the trades, men and women. They're doing a lot to reach out to automotive and aviation and motorcycle and diesel and all of the rest. So they're doing a lot in that area. So make sure you check Fix Fly Travel out, check Tech Force out, and of course, come back next week for another awesome installment of Trades Lady Happy Hour with another awesome woman in the trades. And for now, I will say good night and thank you. And thank you so much for joining
Thank
me.
you. Thank you so much for having me. Thank you. I
Absolutely.
really appreciate it. Thank you to everybody else. I
Yes.
really appreciate everybody else, and I would not be here able to do this without all these incredible people. So thank you to all of you too.
Amen. And cheers to that. All right.
My glass is over there. I'll go get
All
it
right. Good night, everybody.
a minute.
Thank
Bye. Good
you.
night.
Bye.